Thank you very much. A proclamation. Whereas the Cedarville College men's basketball team has a home game tonight against conference foe, Walsh College, and whereas a victory tonight would clinch a playoff position in the Mid-Ohio Conference, and whereas the team's victory would raise the overall record to 500, and whereas the team needs the support of students and faculty by actual presence at the game, be it therefore resolved that the student organization known as CZ, which is the equivalent of X or the unknown quantity, urges all said faculty to attend and vocally, positively support the team. Signed on this day, the 10th of February, 1978, by CZ. Let's go to the ball game. What do you think? Okay, let's do it. I would like to see this Welsh College beat those Irish people. Let's do it. Let's do it. I've been able to be in a ball game all year. Been off way running around the country, but I'm going to be home tonight, and we better see the faculty there, okay? You've had a lot of theology during the last 2 or 3 weeks, and next week, Dr. Balliol is going to be here. I should announce that Dr. George Gardner cannot come because of the illness of his daughter. We need to pray for her. She's probably already has had surgery, and we'll have Dr. Gardner back again. But Dr. Balliol is one of the speakers for the coming week. And in view of all of the theology we've had and what we will have, I thought today I would give the state of the institution message. I'm sorry there hasn't been a group of people to lead me in and a band to play and hail the chief and all that stuff. But we're going to talk about the college. I think maybe some of the things we're going to say will be of interest to you. Through the announcements and periodicals published by the college, letters, of course, conversation that goes on between administrators, faculty, and students, we seek to let you know what is going on in the college. And perhaps the message this morning will not have a great deal of significance, and yet perhaps some of the things I'll say will have be the means of encouraging you to pray. Now, I'm sure one of the things that everybody is asking, who is going to be the next president, and when is he going to be announced? And if I knew, I would tell you. But we do not know. We appreciate your prayers, appreciate the suggestions you've given through the office to the chairman of the committee, Mr. George Engelman. And there are committee meetings being held, and in due time, I'm sure an announcement will be made. I'd like to think with you this morning about a few things that I trust will be helpful, mainly under three headings. It's hard for a Baptist preacher to have a state of the institution message without 3 points in a poem, and I have the 3 points, and I'm going to close with a poem. So I'm homiletically correct, and I'm proceeding along the proper lines if I'm going to meet with the Bible department and have their approval. First of all, I'd like to think with you about what God has done, what we are planning, and how we're going to do it. That's a whale of a big undertaking, but we'll see what happens. I found great confidence in reading the scriptures through the years and finding the promises of God to be so wonderfully significant. Many years ago, when the Lord led us here, I came with great fear and trembling because I didn't know what stood ahead of us, and neither did anyone else. And I ask for a verse, and I've used this often, but let me read it again. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And through those years, we have seen some marvelous things take place. And so in the words of the psalmist, we can say, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. If you think of that psalm, they were praising God for being delivered out of captivity. And then they were praying for those who had not yet been delivered. And they were saying, God has done great things for us. Now, in the early days, we sorely lacked as a college. There were many things we did not have. And so, as we look back over those days and think about it today, we can say, see what God hath wrought. In those early days, we had a faculty of 8 members, not a single solitary one of them with a PhD. Today, we have a faculty that I believe is equal to, and in my judgment, superior to any Christian faculty, any Christian college in this country, with 50% of our people holding earned doctoral degrees. God has done this, brought these people here, dedicated men and women who are here to serve God and help you as students. We think about the facilities that were here back in those days, and I got some information directly from the business manager so that I'm quoting accurate facts now. This is not apocryphal. This is within the realm of the canon. And so I am going to give you some of the facts that may be helpful. Our total assets in this place in 1953, $325,000. Our total assets today, $9,700,000. Of course, we had a debt then of $3,000. Today, we have a debt of $2,800,000. But that is not too bad, according to the business procedures that I hear, when we have an equity of $6,900,000 over against the $325,000 back in 1953. Back in those days, we had 8 buildings. Today we have 37. Then we had 15 acres of land. Today we have 180. The annual budget in those days was $95,000. Today it's $4,558,000. You like this? Back in 1953, you could go to school for $250 a year. That is for tuition. Today it'll cost you $1,872. I don't know why they didn't make it $2,000 and have it over with, but that's the way it is. As I think back over this situation, I cannot help but thank God for what he's done. This has not been the work of a board of trustees, a president, administration, faculty, or a student body, but it's been the work of all who have yielded themselves to God to have this accomplished. In those early days, we even struggled to print the word Cedarville in fear of the fact that they wouldn't even know that we existed at all. In fact, of the matter is, I was in a church one day preaching in the state of Michigan in the Mecca of regular Baptists in Grand Rapids. And as I got through preaching, a man came to me after I'd labored long and loud to impress upon them the importance of Cedarville College. He said, "Where in Michigan is Cedarville?" Well, I could have told him to take a tour to the north, to the Upper Peninsula. He'd found it on the edge of the lake up there, but that was a different Cedarville. There was no recognition. I remember going to the State Department of Education, asking for some help us toward a recognition to give teacher education. They did not look with favor upon it. In fact, they actually laughed us out of court and told us that it was a useless task. Why didn't we quit it? I remember going to the president of a relatively local college and asking for some help and giving us a letter saying they would accept our credits. The man looked at me with disdain and said, "Why don't you quit? You can't make it anyway." I asked him why he didn't quit when he was facing a similar situation. He said, "But then I was a young man." And I looked at him and said, "Today I'm a young man. And I still am, thank the Lord." Anyway, in those days, it was difficult for any recognition. Today, we are recognized by the Department of Education of the state, and some months ago, a word from one of the men indicated we had a good rating, one of the highest in the state, and for this I'm grateful. We are regionally accredited, which the college had never been until 1974, when it was recognized by North Central. We are a member of Ohio College Association, the Association of Independent Colleges and Universities in the state of Ohio. We have also been for a long time a member of CAS, the Council for the Advancement of Small Colleges, and several of our people on our staff, in our faculty, in the administration, the staff, hold places of leadership in the state, in other places, in the departments where they serve. So we thank God for this. I believe God is pleased when his people progress and they find recognition in the world in which they live. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not concerned about the recognition of the world if we cannot have, first of all, the approval and approbation of the Lord. That's most important. But I believe that if we take our stand for God, He will bless us and take us through the trials and give us some way that we can effectively serve Him. I've been interested in observing also what our graduates are doing. I visit schools and churches, and I found some interesting things. I went out in Denver some months ago and met there with a group of graduates and found them serving in local Christian schools. Last week, I visited a school in northern Ohio and walked through the halls of that Christian school and walked into the rooms under the direction of the chairman of the board of education to meet our students, six or seven of them in that one school who were teaching. It was rather frightening to them when they saw their former president, you know, sticking his head in the room, sort of checking upon their educational abilities. One curly-headed little kid sat there in one of the seats, and he said, as he looked at me, "Did she get a whomping when she was in school?" I couldn't remember. Another little boy stepped up and said to me as he stepped out from the class, maybe an 8 or 10 year old boy, stepped up to me and he said, "I want you to know that before I go to school every morning, I hear you over WCRF. That made my day. I knew I had one listener anyway, and I was glad for that. We see these young people working in local churches. Last year, the Missionary Apprenticeship Program lists Cedarville College at Baptist Mid-Missions as having the most of any of the schools listed, and I'm not going to list the others, but there are 15 or 20 other schools listed. We had the most in the missionary internship program. Our men are serving as pastors. They're serving as youth workers. The ladies are having a ministry in Christian education, and they've come here and eventually gotten their degree of MRS, and they're serving in many ways for the Lord in the home and in the churches. It makes us happy to see this. I was visiting a church not so long ago, and I found the teacher of the Sunday school class, a Cedarville graduate who is the bank president. May his number increase. I went to another town, and the bank examiner was a Cedarville College graduate. My, I tell you, that makes you live high. I asked Mr. Gaffney to give me some word on how many are serving in full-time Christian Broadcasting. There are 18 today serving in that capacity. Three of them are serving the Moody Network, radio network, in strategic positions. I think one of them, if I'm not mistaken, is the assistant manager of WMBI. We think about this and all that's been accomplished in the lives of our young people. If you will take a catalog or a series of catalogs of the regular Baptist schools, you will find every one but the one in Denver has a Cedarville College graduate on its staff, and we're going to work on that one too. What a wonderful thing it is to see God work in the lives of people. Listen, this is all about people, not just buildings and facilities, but what's happening in lives, what's happening in your life and mine, what we're doing for the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to see this take place. According to a report I had from the Alumni Association, we have about 4,000 in the alumni group, some of them, of course, from the former administration, the other school that we came here, and we're glad for this because they're taking a vital interest in the school. Some of them, of course, from the Bible Institute in Cleveland. There's still some of them living, and we're grateful for that. I could go on the rest of the hour, but I need to go on and finish this eventually. This is some of the things God has been pleased to do. What are we planning for the future? Well, I want to tell you, first of all, we better plan to do a lot of praying. We need to pray that God will keep our college where it belongs spiritually, where it belongs academically, where it belongs in the job it's doing. And if we succeed in reaching the heart of God and we fulfill His commands in carrying out what He wants, we believe we can claim His blessing. Long ago, there was a prophet of God in a prison, languishing under terrible distress, facing problems that were insurmountable. And while he was there, God spoke to him and said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and give thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That text means something when you find out where it originated, with a man shut up, incapable of solving his own problems, to recognize that that promise can be ours as we call upon him. Paul said, "One thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before." From 1953 to 1978, let me put it, 1953 through 1977 is past. We cannot continue to live in what has been accomplished by God then. We have to think of the future. There are planning committees in operation, one consisting of the administration and representatives of the staff and faculty, another that represents the administration and a group of trustees. And we have discussed several things that we have in mind that we'd like to do. Now, let me caution you when I give you this information. This is planning. This hasn't been voted on. It hasn't been determined that this is what's going to happen. So if anybody writes this up in a paper and it comes out with headlines that next week we're going to construct a new gymnasium, please remember you're responsible for what you put in the headlines, and you will be putting something in the headlines that shouldn't be there. I want to caution you because I want to talk about the things we've discussed, and hopefully I can do it among our folks here, and so you won't go off on a tangent somewhere and think that the whole place is going to be transformed in 24 hours. One thing that has to be done and is in the planning is expanding the library. This hopefully can be done within a short time, and I don't even want to designate how soon, but it's one of the first things on the list. We need to expand or build a new gymnasium. One idea is to build the gymnasium, a new gymnasium, out where the fields are, and turn the present gymnasium into a student center with two floors in the gym, making it possible to feed many more students with better accommodations. The other idea is to build a new student center and then remodel and expand the gymnasium. We haven't decided fully on this. I think perhaps the first one mentioned is the one that has the most vocal approval at the present time, but this hasn't been finally concluded. There's no question but what we need a music building. I feel badly about the music people having to have their sessions in three or four different places. And we need to be planning this and finding facilities. Maybe someone listening who's vitally interested in music would find a couple of million that we could put in this project. Well, we laugh at this, and I know how a couple of million sounds to you, but it could be easily spent without anything left over in just building that kind of a facility. We need to do something about Alfred. There have been some suggestions, which I will not go into. But it's still serving, and it's going to have to serve for a while. But we ought to be thinking about either or, making it better or. And we need to plan this, and we're working on it. There is the need of academic facilities, more classrooms, more offices, more ways of improving the opportunities of teaching. And all of this is in the discussion of the planning committee. Now you say, what is it going to cost? Well, let me shock you. Unfortunately, the new president cannot come too soon. When I get through saying this, I would like to see him inducted like 20 minutes from now. Though I don't want to leave. I'm happy doing what God put me to do, and I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stick around and plague some of you for a while. I asked Mr. Turner to give me a report on this, and he said, and I quote him, "We need $5 million to catch up with the needs." $5 million. I thought that would make a hush over the crowd. So let's have the ushers come and we'll take the offering. We are starting phase one in this campaign next October. The first phase of this program is $1,600,000. Mr. Turner has organized a committee, five leaders of committees who will be working with other committees, making contacts. Our churches cannot afford this. We must find funds from other sources than where we have yet found them. And so you can see that the task is great. This is what is being planned in some way. There's other details we haven't time to go into, but this will give you some idea. Now, number three, what can all of us do to help this cause? As I mentioned to begin with, Cedarville College has never been the college of one or two or a few. Through the years, people have supported this in great numbers. I would rather have 1 million people supporting Cedarville College and praying for us than to have a few wealthy people supporting it and not praying for us. Because I believe when we pray, we appreciate what we're doing and why we're doing it. Now, I wouldn't mind a few people who would pray and give a few $1 million, but I'm trying to emphasize the importance of every individual having a part in it. I read some scriptures of interest that fit into this. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "We are laborers together with God." That's true in a local church. It's true in a Sunday school class. It's true on a mission field. It's true in a Christian college. We are laborers together with God. No one does it all, and no one does it alone. We all have a part. Somewhat the same thing is said in 2 Corinthians 6:1. "We then as workers together with him." Nehemiah 4:7 is an interesting text that I always enjoy. Nehemiah and his crew were rebuilding the walls, and with one of their hands, the workman wrought in the work, and with the other, he held a weapon. He recognized that he not only had to build, but he had to defend. And in our kind of college, we need not only to use one hand to build, but one hand to take our stand and oppose the enemy and be positive in our approach to the things of God. Now, what can you do? What can I do? There are three things that I want to mention. They may have a half a dozen subpoints, but they will help you see some of the things we can do together. First of all, we can pray, and that is not said just because it's pious. I believe that prayer brings to pass in this college more things than any other means God uses. James said the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or through the effective praying of God's people, much is accomplished. What do we need to pray for? Three things, and they won't be difficult to remember. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for workers. We need to pray for wealth, because it's going to take all three to do the job. Along with praying, we need to talk positively. If we cannot talk positively, why can't we? If you're a student in this school and you cannot be positively for the school, you are insulting your own intelligence because you chose it. I don't believe in brainwashing. I don't want you to go out of this place with a concept that I hear some places, that unless you go to this school, you're out of the will of God. I abhor that kind of philosophy. I don't want you to say to anyone that the only school in the world is Cedarville College. You might say it's the second one or somewhere. But we can be positive. And you say, well, what can that do? You can be the greatest student recruiter known to men and to administrators. I am confident that more students are in this student body today because of other students who have been here and who are here. Of all the programs we may have to recruit, we haven't had to recruit. Many schools are putting thousands of dollars every year in recruitment. And whatever money we save in recruitment, we put in facilities. So you have a responsibility and a privilege to speak to students about the school. Be a recruiter. You can encourage people to give. You may be as broke as I am, or more so. And you say, I don't have anything to give. But you know people who can. Pray for them, talk to them, encourage them. Say, this is a great project. Be positive in talking about the institution. If you can't be positive, be silent. If you can't talk for an institution that is trying to help you to go on for God, then if you can be that way, then be gracious enough to keep still. But you can be positive. You can encourage people to give. You can speak to people about the college and your churches. You talk to your pastors and your youth leaders. I am aware of the fact that in many of our churches, youth leaders and pastors who come from other institutions who are somewhat brainwashed are taking young people out of our regular Baptist churches into interdenominational churches where they will not have the teaching they have here. We ought to be awake to our responsibility and really talk about it from the standpoint of the Bible teaching and the instruction in the courses and the fellowship and so on that is certainly a blessing to many. You can report. And here's something everybody can do. If you have prospects for new students, report them to the admissions office. They'll send all the material. Say, here's Johnny back home that needs a catalog, or Susie who needs to come to Cedarville. Let us communicate with them. You can put individuals on the mailing list. Some of you received a reward for doing that. Now that you've been paid for doing it, do it without being paid and say to Mr. Turner, I have some names that ought to be receiving the brand new college bulletin that's going to be a Bible study instrument, not just reporting, but Bible study articles. Let's serve people. Let's get the message out to them so that they can read about the Word of God and the message. This is our objective. So tell the development office you've got some people in your home church that ought to receive this new, brand new college bulletin ready by the 1st of March. Some of you have suggestions for faculty members. That is, you know there's a need. Don't hesitate to go to the academic dean. Talk to him about it. Maybe you have the answer to the need of a faculty member. If you have somebody you feel ought to work on the staff, see Mr. St. Clair. If you have general education ideas or general ideas about the college, I guess I should say, come see me. If you have any gripes, go see the rest of the administrators. Fair enough? Fair enough. I thought you'd like that. No, I'm willing to listen to you, talk to you, do anything I can to help you and to help this cause. Now, I've presented only a few things to you this morning, but let me tell you, it's a big task. It is too big for any few. It's not too big for God, not too great for God and His people. But it's going to require a lot of work. And now, the poem. Said the little red rooster, believe me, things are tough. Seems that worms are scarcer, and I cannot get enough. What's become of all those fat ones is a mystery to me. There were thousands through that rainy spell, but now, where can they be? Then the old black hen who heard him didn't grumble or complain. She had gone through lots of dry spells. She had lived through floods and rain. So she flew up on the grindstone and she gave her claws a wet. As she said, I've never seen the time where there weren't worms to get. She picked a new and undug spot. The earth was hard and firm. The little rooster jeered. New ground, that's no place for a worm. The old black hen just spread her feet. She dug both fast and free. I must go to the worms, she said. The worms won't come to me. The rooster vainly spent his day through habit by the ways where fat round worms had passed in squads back in the rainy days. When nightfall found him supperless, he growled in accents rough, I'm hungry as a fowl can be. Conditions sure are tough. He turned then to the old black hen and said, it's worse with you, for you're not only hungry, but must be tired too. I rested while I watched for worms. I rested while I watched for worms. So I feel fairly perk. But how are you without worms too? And after all that work, the old black hen hopped to her perch and dropped her eyes to sleep and murmured in a drowsy tone, young man, hear this and weep. I'm full of worms and happy, for I've eaten like a pig. The worms are there as always, but boy, I had to dig. When it comes to raising $5 million, we have to dig, huh? So let's get with it and get the job done for the glory of God, that we may see many go out of this place to serve God, the mission field, the pastorate, the educational facilities around the country, doing God's bidding, obeying his word, winning souls to Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful this morning for this opportunity of meeting here to talk about the things that are dear to us and are a burden to our hearts. We pray that each of us may recognize that we have a responsibility to pray, to talk, and to work together for the cause of Jesus Christ in Cedarville College. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.